All right, good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host Jim Hobgood. Well, Hobbo, the UVA men's basketball team rebounded nicely against the dreaded Hokies on Saturday for a big win. The UVA men's tennis team won the ITA indoors for the fourth time in a row. And the UVA lacrosse team edged Drexel 12-9 on a chilly Saturday night. I was there with Terry Gates. We had a lot of fun watching the Wahoos. And then Tuesday night, the Cavs beat Mount St. Mary's sort of in a romp. And
now, was the night chilly or was your beverage chilly?
It was too cold to hold a beverage. Anyhow, most of the other Cavalier teams have big weekends and big weeks ahead, and we're glad that you joined us tonight.
Yeah, you might mention Virginia captured their first ACC championship over the weekend with the women's swim team. Michael Tusky will have all the details of that later in the show. And, of course, the baseball team had a great weekend down in Alabama winning three games. All right, this is Hobbo. We're glad you have joined us again this evening. We expect to have former UVA forward Yuri Barnes either on the phone or in person. I think he's hung up in traffic a little bit trying to get here. We had expected to have him in studio, but if he doesn't make it, we'll at least get him on the phone. And then in the second half hour tonight, speaking of lacrosse, we will have the Big Whistle. Head coach Dom Starcia will join us after the bottom of the hour break to talk about the lacrosse team, who is
2-0,
off to a good start with a big game coming up this weekend. So we will be discussing that with Coach Starcia in the second half hour. There are a number of ways to follow the show. Michael Tusky will outline those right now.
We encourage call-ins. Just call 345-0910. Who's Talking is also streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. All of our previous shows are archived on thesaber.com. We encourage you to go on to Facebook. Just search for Who's Talking and become a fan. Your questions and comments are always welcome. Just call us at 345-0910.
Well, as Frank mentioned earlier, Virginia with a big win on Saturday against Virginia Tech, sweeping the regular season series for the first time since 2006, following the win in December down in Blacksburg. And to be honest, Frank, you know, since Hobbo has to be honest and admit my my shortcomings, I drove over to Charlottesville on Saturday not thinking Virginia had much of a chance to beat Virginia Tech without Mike Scott, because it was certainly an important game for Virginia Tech. Virginia played great defensively. I thought Jontel Evans and Mustafa Farrakhan did a terrific job against Delaney throughout the game. Delaney had a couple of, you know, lengthy threes late in the contest in the last minute and a half, and I think he ended up with, what, 20 points for the game. But still, even though he had nice scoring, he actually had 22.
A big air ball in the last minute of the game.
Yeah, and then he, you know, and I can't remember the exact time, but in the last 10 minutes, he had an open look at a three from the corner, which was a big miss that just rattled out. So Virginia got a break there. And, of course, not to mention Jontel Evans making a three in the first half. You don't expect him to be making threes. And then Sammy Zaglinski had end of shot clock threes on three separate occasions, which from a defensive standpoint, that's just a backbreaker. You know, you play pretty good defense for most of the 35-second shot clock, and somebody puts up a prayer at the end of the shot clock, and the prayer is answered. So Virginia made shots, played great defense, and captured a really, really big win against Virginia Tech, getting them back to 500. And tonight, big game tonight down in Atlanta against Georgia Tech. I think this is a critical game on the schedule, because if they win tonight, I think Virginia has a great chance of having a winning season, which psychologically I think would be important for Coach Bennett and the team.
Be nice to sweep both the Techs this year. Important game down there at Alexander Memorial Coliseum, which I'm told they're going to do a renovation during the offseason, so it's going to get a facelift.
Yeah, now they did a little bit of a facelift in front of the Olympic Games down there, which is what, 19? When were the Olympics in Atlanta? Like 88, 92? I should remember. But they used Alexander Memorial Coliseum, I think, as a wrestling venue during the Olympics, the Summer Olympics, when it was in Atlanta. Maybe it was 96.
And I know they've played tennis there, because I've seen professional tennis tournament played there many years ago, and
Alexander Memorial Coliseum, it looks almost like a replica to me of University Hall.
Me too. I thought the same thing. It's got the same round walkway.
It's the same round thing, and in many ways, University Hall, in my opinion, was almost better because when they renovated University Hall, they had individual seats, whereas Alexander Memorial Coliseum still has bench seats for a lot of the student area. Now they have cushioned reserve seats. I would not expect, as you tune in to ESPNU tonight, to see a very big crowd. Virginia and Georgia Tech probably not going to really turn them out. And that's been a problem for Georgia Tech all year. They just have not drawn well, given that they've struggled a little bit this year.
You know, you have to feel a little bit for the coach, though, because several of his players left early to go play in the pros. And I think it's very hard to constantly try to restock. I mean, Carolina tries to do it, and even Carolina has had bad hiccups. Take last year, for example. It's hard to build the team when your superstars leave you after a year or two. And
I think that's one of the Tony Bennett strategies is to recruit kids like a Joe Harris, who is a terrific basketball player, has skills, he has knowledge, he's smart. He's going to be strong academically. He's a good kid. And by his third or fourth year, he played well over the weekend. He had 15 points on Saturday, so he's producing now. But he will be at Virginia 4 years, and by the end of his career, he's going to be one heck of a player.
Little topic change. It looks like UVA won the baseball game today against VMI in a close game. Probably a little colder up there and windier than either of the team managers wanted to face that kind of conditions, but apparently 4-3 win for the Cavaliers. So UVA still 4-0.
Yep, still undefeated with the East Carolina Pirates coming to town this weekend for a 3-game series. So
big series. There'll be a lot of hot chocolate and coffee this weekend.
Yeah, I mean it's February baseball, so you sort of expect it to be a little chilly. And that's interesting that they start in February and finish in June. So they see a seasonal change during the baseball campaign, no question about it.
Well, let's see here. UVA, 13-13 overall, 4-8 in the ACC. You got the woulda, shoulda, couldas. Lost the heartbreaker down there at Wake after having the nice lead in the second half. They had the Heat game where they had Miami dead and buried.
Hurricanes, you're trying to move the Heat, trying to move Miami to the NBA here.
You know, there's been so much news about the Heat, it's just on the brain.
Well, let me give you, my rundown, my mental rundown is the University of Seattle.
Yeah, tough game.
North Carolina.
Yeah.
Boston College on the road. Certainly the Miami game, trying to think with the other, and Wake Forest, so that's what, at least five right there.
But I'm really focusing more recently on those games. Where Virginia had a lead late in the game and let it get away. And what was so nice this Saturday in the warm, friendly confines of JPJ Arena was the team actually, it seemed like they buckled up their chin strap and they played tougher coming down to the wire. And I didn't get the feeling that they were ever going to lose that game. I know that Tech sort of threw a little scare into it, throwing those long balls in, but you know, once Virginia made a few adjustments on that inbounds play and in having to adapt to that full court pressure, I felt like they would go to the foul line, they'd make enough foul shots, and they did. So,
well, the key moment to me in the game was when Farrakhan got hurt, and that was around, what, 8, 9, 10 minutes to go? I can't remember exactly.
Right, but around 10 minutes.
Yeah. He went out of the game. At the time, Jontel Evans already had 3 personal fouls. And as I say, they were rotating Evans and Farrakhan on Delaney, and my fear was that if Farrakhan's gone for the rest of the game, not only do you lose his offense, but all of a sudden Jontel Evans has to guard Delaney the rest of the way without any help. And if
just giving up too many inches.
Yeah, and he's already got 3 fouls, so he can't be that aggressive against Delaney if he didn't have any relief. So the fact that Ethan Saliba and the training staff were able to take Mustafa off to the side for the time being and come back in and indicate to the coaching staff that he was able to go. And the other thing about Mustafa late in the game, he had 2 big hoops in the last 3 or 4 minutes. He had a 3 and a deuce,
which were
critically important for Virginia coming down the stretch and maintaining their lead. And, of course, they made a couple free throws coming down the end. So just no matter how you slice this, that's a big win. Big win for Virginia to get back to .500, get that fourth win in the conference, and now – you know, they've got another 2 or 3 games in succession now where they have an opportunity to win some games, and that would be great if they could get a little win streak going here late in the season.
Well, the opportunity presents itself with this schedule. Georgia Tech is a team that is really struggling, particularly in light of the fact they lost Brian Oliver with a little surgery. So there's a reliable player that they don't have in the lineup.
I think he was like their third leading scorer or something like that.
But just a steadying sort of player.
Yeah.
You look at Boston College has got to come now to Charlottesville for a nice slugfest on Saturday. Could almost be a repeat of last Saturday for the Cavaliers. Do have to travel up the road to play Maryland, which will not be easy. But Maryland has dropped some ACC games at home this year. Probably much the surprise of most folks.
Well, that one's going to be tough. But, of course, you know, before they go to Maryland, they got the NC State game next Tuesday in Charlottesville. Yep. So, really, between Georgia Tech tonight, BC home, NC State at home, those are three games where
winnable games.
Yeah, certainly have an opportunity to win those games. NC State's been playing a little better of late, but that's, as you say, still a very winnable game, particularly playing in Charlottesville.
You know, one thing I thought was very interesting on Saturday, Hobbo, was the attendance was at 13,769 was the final reported number. The game was sold out for weeks. Who were the clowns that decided not to go see what turned out to be a good, gutsy battle from start to finish?
Yeah, it is strange because, I mean, it was windy, but, I mean, the weather for February, you can't blame the weather for not coming to the game. So you're right. I don't know exactly why people would buy tickets and not come, particularly in that number. I mean, you always expect to have a few empty seats, even for a sold-out house. And, you know, unfortunately, there were some seats that were still open downstairs, too. So you still have some season ticket holders that, I guess, had decided for whatever reason not to come. And as you say, they missed a good game.
They missed a great game. And I thought both teams played really hard. I know, you know, Tech's players and their coaches were a little upset at the end of the game just because they played what they felt like was really strong defense for 30 seconds, but then gave up those long balls by Sammy and others. I really thought almost one of the plays of the second half was John Tell came around a little curl play, dribbling the ball, and he broke free down the middle and went all the way to the basket and laid it in. I almost felt like that was the dagger to the heart. I mean, it's, you know, to let the smallest man on the floor get all the way to the basket for really an uncontested layup off the glass. That was a huge breakdown. Do you remember that play?
Oh, yeah. And it never ceases to amaze me that defensively teams don't force guys to go to the offhand.
Right.
I mean, he's a right-handed guy. You let him come off that pick and go all the way to the basket using his right hand, but certainly a defensive breakdown. I think the other thing other than the win that was encouraging to me was the fact that several times during the game I looked out on the floor and Virginia had all underclassmen in the game. You know, Mustafa, of the seven guys that are primarily playing right now, Mustafa Farrakhan, the only senior, and he certainly had a good game, but at halftime the statistics, the game was 28-23, but of the guys coming back next year, the score would have been 25-6.
You know,
Tech was getting a lot of points from Allen and Delaney.
Absolutely. You know that Akil Mitchell had a terrific game, I thought, particularly rebounding the basketball. Seven boards, all on the defensive end, and I can think of at least three big rebounds in the last
two and a half, three minutes of the game
where he clearly had position, went up high, did not wait for the ball, went up and got it at its apex, brought it down securely, and you could almost feel those rebounds sort of quieted the Tech
Well, the key word of that phrase that you used is securely, because you see a lot of particularly young guys, and Tech's one of those teams that, you know, you get a rebound, there are guys in there trying to slap it away from you, but he did a terrific job of hanging on to the ball and making sure nobody got a piece of it until he was able to unload it to one of the Virginia guards. Let's go ahead and go to break now. We're still hoping to hook up with Yuri Barnes, but in the meantime, we'll take our break at the moment and be back after these messages, hopefully with Yuri Barnes.
Welcome back. This is Who's Talking with Frank Maloney and Jim Hobgood. We've got former UVA power forward Yuri Barnes on the line. Yuri, are you there?
I'm right here.
Very good. All right. I know it's been a little bit of a sojourn, a journey, whatever, today, trying to catch up with you. All right. Jim and I, we've got a bunch of questions. I think the first question we'll throw at you real quickly, Yuri, is this whole business of your old buddy Jason Williford is now on the bench in Charlottesville coaching the Cavaliers, and I have to assume that you're talking to him fairly frequently, and I just wondered what your thoughts were watching him work in the sidelines.
Well, it's good to see him out there. I know this is, you know, being back at his alma mater, it's like a dream come true for him. And to be at such a young age that he still is, and I like to think I still am as well. You know, it's good to see him out there. You know, he gave a lot of blood, sweat, and tears for the program, as myself and the guys I played with. And to be there, you know, I can't imagine him doing anything or wanting to do anything, you know, more so than what he is now, because it's, you know, it's weird a little bit. Because I remember sometimes he'd get in under coach's skin and stuff like that. You know, and just be how Jason, you know, could be how we always thought he would be sometimes, always is. Get that thick Richmond skull in him sometimes.
Yeah, Yuri, this is Hobbo. I think in many ways your recruiting class may have been the best recruiting class ever at the University of Virginia. And I certainly think the teams that you were on, I would rank that as the second best era of Virginia basketball. But, of course, you played for Jeff Jones. Give us a little comparison and contrast, Jeff Jones versus your perception of Tony Bennett.
I'm sorry, Jim.
Yeah, I was just going to say, give us your sense, maybe a comparison of Jeff Jones versus Tony Bennett.
Oh, well, I'd say a lot of it has something to do with the era, the differences, you know, that they do have between them. I think with Coach Bennett, one thing that I see is there, you know, the players are a little more liberal as far as what they're able to do, or, you know, I guess a little unlimited. With Coach Jones, everything was a little bit more structured as to what your role was. And and especially from my perspective, you know.
So he didn't want Yuri out there taking threes. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, to say the least. You know, I think I probably could have contributed a little something. I am 100%, as some people may know, my career shooting threes. But, well, one for one still counts.
I mean, that's bad coaching when you got a guy that's hot not getting him the ball outside the line.
Well, yeah, and I love Coach Jones to death. We still talk to this day. But I remember one game, Eric Montrose was guarding me, and I hit two back-to-back jump shots from maybe the free throw line or so. And next dead ball, Coach was like, it's a good thing you hit those, but we don't necessarily need that right now. And I'm like, well, heck, I hit them though, Coach, you know, but anyway.
Well, see, my attitude always was there's no such thing as a bad shot that goes in.
Yeah, I remember telling Corey Alexander the story, and he was like, I tell you what, I would have shot the next one. And I'm like, yeah, we know you would have. But, you know, and Coach Jones, I say that he really taught us a whole lot about defense, how to play the game of defense, and how, you know, instilling in us that basketball isn't won without a tough, mentally tough and physically tough five that can go out there and just, you know, bone up and get it done.
Hey, Yuri, I know that you saw some of the game on Saturday against Virginia Tech. What are some of your observations just watching this edition of the Cavaliers?
I think it's a good young group out there. You know, it's the guys are still young. We've gone through some struggles. What I love about them is they fight to the end, you know, and they don't give up. And I think they're really learning from their experiences, especially being so close. And, you know, they've had a lot of games that if the ball just would have bounced the other way, they could have come out on top. You know, and the fact that they're young, it's easy for those guys to put their head down sometimes. But I admire them for not doing that and just keep fighting.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a credit to both the players and the coaches that they have just continued to work hard all year, even though they've had some disappointments. But I assume you agree the future looks really bright.
Yeah, I it does, man. I'm excited about it. You know, I think we can turn the corner and like getting some more young talent developing what we have, which is a good nucleus to work with, you know, I think it'll go pretty well.
Well, Yuri, we're coming up against a hard break, as they say in the biz, and we loved talking to you. We'd like to have you come back on here in a couple of weeks to break down the season with us. Can you do that possibly?
Yeah, I'd love to get in the studio. Last time I remember I was hung up with the flu on the phone in the bed, and this time I just got lost. So,
well, business.
I'd love to get in there.
Well, your business over there in Southside will tie up anybody, and that's tough traffic over there.
Well, you know what they say, the third time's a charm. But at any rate, we're visiting briefly tonight with Yuri Barnes. Look forward to having you back on, Yuri.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we will go to our bottom of the hour break. When we return, head lacrosse coach Dom Starcia will join us.